Welcome to A Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Man is religious. Wherever humans are found, they are religious. It may be among the so-called civilized nations, or among the tribes of the South Seas, or in the darkest regions of Africa. Man is religious. And Christianity is a religion. But it is a religion that differs from all others because it is the religion that has come from the one true and living God. Such is the message of the Bible. Those who are Christians believe and follow things differently from those of other religions. One of these differences is concerning the expectations of the Christian. And one of these expectations has to do with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The epistle of 2 Peter was written in part dealing with the problem of unbelievers and scoffers regarding the Lord's return. The contrast of belief by followers of Christ and unbelief is graphically presented to us in 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, our text reflects the expectation of the coming of the Lord. This is a basic and fundamental element of the Christian faith. Unbelievers cry, Where is he? He promised to come. Things are going on as before. What about this promise to return? Peter says that these unbelievers willfully forget something they ought to know and recall. Time is not important to God as to the validity of his promises and the fulfillment of them. 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. It makes not one bit of difference to God how long it may be before he does what he's promised. But we can be sure he will do as he has said. His promises are sure, they are certain. Everything the Lord has assured will eventually be fulfilled as he stated. Time is a human concept. We measure according to time, but God does not. God is timeless. We cannot judge the fulfillment of God's promises by our clocks and our calendars. When God has not specified any particular time for something to occur, we dare not think that he's gone back on his word because we have set a time limit for him. There have been those things that God has promised and he set up, according to time, to be sure. And when he has done that, he always keeps his word. But in this matter of the return of Christ, there is no revealed time that God has told us as to when it will occur. But this does not mean, as scoffers imply, that God will not do as he has promised. High anticipation of the Lord's return is still at the heart of his faith and religion. And the reason for this is obvious. The eternal salvation of the believer, for which the Lord first came to accomplish, will be fully accomplished. You remove this expectation and the hope from Christianity, and man has nothing for which to look forward except perishing from the earth. The Christian faith becomes nothing more than just another philosophy or religion. The hope of the Christian would have no limit beyond this fleeting life. It would cease to be timeless, but become bound in time. Faith would be of no eternal benefit, but would be only temporal, and actually of no value with respect to the primary salvation in Christ. The question is asked, when will the Lord come again? Friend, we have no way of knowing because God has not told us. Now some have proven themselves to be false prophets by assigning dates, talking about the signs of the times, and other imaginative speculations that come from the minds of men. Concerning the moment of his return, we neither know the day nor the hour. Christ said that he did not even know while he was here upon this earth, Matthew 24 and verse 36. Do we dare to think we know more than he knew? Peter tells us the Lord will come as a thief in the night. This means he will come without announcement, unexpectedly. Actually, it is unimportant to know when the Lord will come. At what time when ye think not the Son of Man shall come? What Jesus stressed was the importance of being ready to meet him whenever he came. And what did Jesus teach about his eventual return? In John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said his coming was certain. He did not teach his coming would be soon after he gave this assurance that he would come. He did not teach that there would be signs by which men could know when his coming was to be. We see sometimes men have taken the signs of which Jesus spoke concerning the forthcoming destruction of Jerusalem and signs that forewarned of it at things that have already taken place now, things that took place in the year AD 70, and make them signs to predict when the Lord is going to return. But these are not signs indicating his return. The point we want to make, without going too far astray from the main theme of the lesson, is Jesus promised to return. The matter before us is simply, do we believe him? What did the apostles teach about his return? They also taught that it would come to pass. Remember, they were guided into all truth, John 14:26, and we can have confidence in what they taught. In 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning with verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-6, warns of the return of Christ. And even though some to whom Paul wrote may have expected the Lord's return in their lifetime, Paul wrote no such thing, but corrected the error, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-7, citing a falling away first that would come. The apostles did not teach that the return of Christ was at hand. The falling away would come. The man of sin would be revealed. Other things would take place, things that had already begun. Paul indicates he would be taken out of the way first. Please notice Paul's comments in 1 Thessalonians 4. The dead in Christ shall rise before those living shall rise. The living Christians shall be changed, and together shall they be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Whenever Jesus comes, this is what is going to occur. Jesus will not come until God's appointed time. So we see how Christ and the apostles taught the certainty of the Lord's return. And this is the reason for the expectation by the Christian for that event, even though the time is not revealed. Scripture shows that the Lord's return will be personal. The same Lord that ascended is the Lord that will descend. Acts 1 and verse 11, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Our expectation will be fulfilled because Christ said, I will come again. Someone other than Christ will not be sent in his place. And what will his return be like? Well, obviously, it will be like nothing we have or could have experienced up to now. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works therein shall be burned up. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. There is nothing to which we can compare these events. There will be the resurrection from the dead. All men shall come forth from the tomb regardless of the kind of life that they have lived on earth. John 5, 28 and 29. This resurrection will take place on the last day. John 11 and verse 24. Christ will have conquered the last enemy, which is death. 1 Corinthians 15 and 26. The judgment that God has appointed will occur. Acts 17 and verse 31. And all shall stand before the Lord in judgment, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And the kingdom shall be delivered to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15 and 24. And the good and the evil shall be separated, Matthew chapter 25. What a day that will be! It will be a day of rejoicing for some, but it will be a day of weeping and gnashing of teeth for others. Christians now, like Christians of yesteryear, expect Christ to return, and all these things shall come to pass. Therefore Peter reasoned, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 2 Peter 3:11. In other words, since all this is promised, is it not plain what kind of lives we ought to live? In view of the return of Jesus Christ, can there be any doubt as to the manner of life God expects, and that which will be profitable for us? Friend, realizing the certainty, though knowing not when, is there any other way to conclude except that we live righteously? Our expectation makes this imperative. Only a life as a faithful Christian can one be prepared for this inevitable and inescapable event, the Lord's return. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.